37. Download the app Open Table or check them out online, surveyandsirloin.com. From the 590 The Fan KFNS Studios in Kirkwood, I'm Tim Woodburn, and just around the corner, hour number two of the extra, extra, extra large morning show in the afternoon without Frank O'Pinion.
This is KFNS Profiles.
In this edition of the KFNS Profiles, we focus in on the 1988-89 Fighting Illini basketball team.
They've given Illinois a new nickname this year. They're calling them the Flying Illini.
The Flying Illini were a Final Four team that season. They won 31 games and lost just 5, setting a school record for most wins in a season at that time. 5 NBA players played on the Flying Illini. Kenny Battle, Kendall Gill, Steve Bardo, Marcus Liberty, and Nick Anderson. One of the more memorable moments of the 88-89 season was a trip to Bloomington, Indiana, as they defeated Bobby Knight's team in the final moment.
Anderson! Ah! I can't believe it now! Nick Anderson hit the shot! Oh! Incredible!
Head coach Lou Henson's Fighting Illini in this edition of the KFNS Profiles.
Royal Banks of Missouri is all about convenience for you. Where else will you find extended drive-up hours until 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 2 p.m. on Saturday? You're busy, and now you have a bank with the flexibility your schedule needs. What was that about convenience? Sign up for Royal Banks of Missouri mobile banking system, and rates are down. Refinance your home mortgage. Finance that next vacation with a home equity line of credit, or take care of that new car loan, all with Royal Banks of Missouri. Check them out at royalbanksofmo.com.
If you haven't checked out Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Sunset Hills, you are missing out! It's like a sports bar for your head. Get a precision haircut, hot leather neck shave, and hot towel treatment for just $14 on Lindbergh Boulevard, just off the Watson Road, next to St. Louis Bread Co. Lady Jane's has won double-digit men's styling awards, and our talented stylists are delivering the best haircuts in St. Louis. In Sunset Hills, on Lindbergh Boulevard, just off the Watson Road, next to St. Louis Bread Co. Lady Jane's, it's wicked awesome!
Hey, St. Louis, where are you watching football this season? I've got a suggestion. Eddie McVay here from Maggie O'Brien's, inviting you down to both our locations for all of your football needs. Sure, we've got TVs everywhere you turn, but I know it's the $4 Jameson shots, $7 Bud pitchers, and all the food starting at just $7 that really brings you in. And again, a big thank you to all the people from the STL for helping Maggie O's make 40 years of memories. Visit us anytime on South Lindbergh and Sunset Hills, or at the corner of Market and 20th Street. Union Station is next us.
Every great success story starts with one brave decision. And if you're one of the millions of Americans with college credit but no degree, one brave decision is all that stands between you and the future you want. At Maryville University, we know returning to college takes courage, but your decision isn't really about going back to school. It's about moving forward. And we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law? Well, you see, I didn't really mean you any harm.
Well, we're about to find out who's on the right side of the law and the wrong side of the law, because this is the hour when we take your questions and calls for free legal advice. You're not going to get free legal advice anywhere in St. Louis other than this man right here, right now, because all these lawyers bill you by the hour. They love to bill you by the hour. They love to bill multiple clients for the same hour if you really want to get into it, but that's another conversation for another day. Scott Sherman is in the studio this afternoon.
Thank you. Tim.
Welcome.
Thank you, guys. I heard on the way here, as about 12 minutes ago, I was down the street visiting with my buddy Dr. Staley, and I knew I was going to be cutting it close. Not as close as David Solomon, who cuts it so close, you just have to take it on faith that he's going to be right on time.
I always get here with 20 seconds to spare or more.
If it was any more time, it wouldn't, A, it wouldn't be David Solomon, and B, right, he wouldn't do the great job that he does.
Right.
It's just, he's just an on-time performer.
And what's funny is that I don't really pay attention to what time you get here, but with hosting the show today, I was very cognizant and aware that you weren't here at like 3:58, and I was literally getting ready to text you when I saw you start to walk up. Like, I'm worried. Did he forget?
Two observations. Number one,
accident.
I take it that you don't really care about me, other than
it's just not me.
But that's fine.
It's not.
I don't care about.
That's
you.
Not. True.
I know you don't.
No, because I texted you and called you in the last day and a half.
Now you know how Frank feels.
Yeah, I text you. You don't respond back.
Now you know how Frank
feels.
Yeah,
great.
I'll see you Thursday at 4:00.
Yeah, okay.
It's like, wait a minute. What are you doing?
Right.
I can't talk to you. So I apologize for that. I didn't know you texted or called me until I heard you talking to these guys at the last 2 minutes of the hour,
mm-hmm.
and saying, I texted him and I called him. Mm-hmm. I hope he shows up, and I was right down the street. So I apologize for not texting or calling. It was not intentional.
I'm not important to you. I get it.
You are important.
You don't have to soft sell it.
As I said, I know how Frank is.
855-282-8255. 855-282-TALK, 314-821-0590. Frank Opinion's not here today. Dan Strauss isn't here today. Both
I noticed
in Vegas.
That. Are they on a boat again?
No, they're in Vegas for his daughter's
wedding. Amanda's
wedding.
On
yeah.
The boat.
On the boat again.
And I told Dan and Frank, I was all excited because when you guys went on the trip,
mm-hmm.
To Germany or to the Rhine River,
right.
I was giving them all the like World War II things, like mm-hmm. the Remagen Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank was interested, to his credit. He really was.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan could not have cared less. It was so obvious. He's like, are you done talking yet?
Frank told me on the boat he wasn't that interested.
He was just being nice.
You went?
I'm with Dan.
Yeah, I went.
I wouldn't have been interested in that either. You would have bored me to death with all that
David,
history.
David, what do we have to do to get on the boat with these guys?
You ready to take some calls?
Sure.
All right, 855. Are you ready to take some calls, David?
I am ready.
All right, who's up first?
Let's go to Les.
Les, you're on 590 The Fam. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott. How you doing today?
Great, Les. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, I got a couple questions, then maybe a follow-up question. BIATICA settlement. What is that?
Holy mackerel! I think you spelled that too fast.
What was it?
A B? A what?
B as in Victor.
Okay.
IATICAL.
Viatical.
Viatical.
Viatical. Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
Okay.
That's almost like just a good, I mean, I would be guessing.
No, I know what it is.
Because I
know somebody went to prison for selling fake ones. A viatical is when you have a life insurance policy and you can't, and you make somebody else the beneficiary and they give you a check while you're still alive.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So if I had a policy on my wife, who I'm not married, for $200,000, I could sell it to somebody for $50,000, and then when she dies, they get the $200,000.
Hmm.
It's kind of like a reverse mortgage. It's a reverse life insurance policy. It's a reverse settlement, if you will. And I know a guy that went to prison for clean sheeting people who had AIDS and had other cancer and stuff like that. And he would clean sheet them and buy life insurance policies for them, and then he would sell them to people to himself. And he was ripping off insurance companies. He went to prison for 7 years for doing it.
So less a viatical settlement,
mm-hmm.
I guess, would mean that. It's like one of those, I don't want to say the name of it, but...
Wikipedia calls it the sale of a policy owner's existing life insurance policy to a third party for more than its cash surrender value, but less than its net death benefit.
Yeah, I was trying to see if I get it in layman's terms, if Scott would know what that is. It's in regards to an estate.
I didn't know, so I'm...
No,
I struck out on it. But I see these things on TV for the kid that eats pizza in his mom's house, and he's got a structured settlement, and he's going to sell it to this place, and they're going to give him cash for it, and then he would assign those progress payments or those structured payments to them, JG somebody or other. I don't want to advertise for
them. Yeah, I know.
It's like that kind of a deal. So I think that structured settlements are assignable in terms of an estate.
Let me explain a little bit what happened. The executor of the person's estate, for lack of a better term, pick up the option on these.
Okay.
You know, unbeknownst to the other members of the family. And I was kind of curious if that was
I don't
legal,
like that.
Understand it, you know.
I think it's unethical for the executor of the estate to self-deal. The executor is supposed to do what the wishes of the benefit or what the wishes of the testator is. The person that died or the person that has the trust or the person that sets up the will. that's their job, is to carry out their wishes, not to self-deal. So if there's an executor who's picking up options on beneficiaries that aren't claiming this, one, it's a huge red flag because of self-dealing, and two, it's a huge question for me is, how do you know that that beneficiary didn't get proper notice, or that they did get proper notice, that the executor isn't just setting them up, pretending to send them notices, and saying, well, you know, cousin Phil, he didn't take his $500,000. I'll just take it for myself. That seems like a bad deal, and that's an alarm bell that a lawyer for that person, the would-be beneficiary, or the other beneficiaries, should look into or discuss that stuff with. And I should not a sentence with a preposition, with that lawyer.
Well, thank you very much for your time, guys. I appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
All right, Les, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim, for Googling
no problem.
Viatical.
You know, I forget the guy's last name.
He was trying to Google Viagra, and he accidentally got the Viatical.
The guy, if your viatical settlement lasts 10 hours, please call a lawyer.
American Greed was one of my favorite shows. It's narrated by Stacy Keach. And this guy in Kentucky that I actually sold advertising to way back in the day for his company, he clean-sheeted all these people, and he sold viaticals, and the FBI raided his offices, and he ended up bailing himself out of jail and was awaiting trial, went to trial, and got convicted, and they... At the federal level, they give you a little bit of time, like Stenger, when he got convicted. They gave him a little time to get his affairs in order before he had to report to prison. Well, during that time, this guy bribed a helicopter pilot to fly him and his wife and two kids out of the country, and they went to Costa Rica, and he bought a Lexus and stood out like a sore thumb and enrolled his kids in private school, and they caught him about 5 months after he got there, and they brought him back, and they tacked another 5 years onto his sentence.
The second season of Ozark.
Who's up next, David?
We've got Dale.
All right, Dale, welcome to 590 The Fans. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Actually, it's a girl. It's Gail.
Oh, I apologize. Hi, Gail.
We'll blame that on Dan also.
We'll blame that on Dan. Dan's an idiot. He can't
spell.
He typed
the wrong name.
That's all right. All right, Scott, so my question is, my daughter got a red light ticket in the only four areas in Missouri, or the only area.
Can I guess?
Hannibal.
Oh, you gave it away. I was going to guess Hannibal.
No, you weren't.
I was.
No, you weren't.
No, I'm not kidding.
Okay.
No,
go back and play the tapes.
And there's four red light cameras in Missouri, and that's where they're located.
That's right. Wow. Hannibal is the only place where red light camera tickets are.
Mark Twain's family get a cut of that?
That's that. Yes.
And they run the red
one
light
is the Becky Hannibal? Thatcher. The other is the...
Huck Finn.
And there's a two
Injun Joe?
Yeah, Injun Joe.
Okay.
So what to do with this thing?
Yeah, we live in Illinois.
Gail, here's what I'll do. I have dealt with the prosecutor there on these things. They're very, very cordial about kind of screwing you, but they're willing to amend them. If your daughter or you will just scan and email them just the ticket to me. I'm not going to pay it for you, but I won't charge you. Although, as a large morning show sort of favor. Now, if you want to donate $25 to Backstoppers or something, be my guest. Do it in your daughter's name. But send the thing to me, and I'll send it up there, and they'll amend it, and you'll have to pay some money. But until such time as the elders up there decide to take these cameras down, Hannibal will remain the only place in Missouri that has tickets. And I know what Bill's saying. Why would they allow this still? Is that the question?
Well, you can see the look on my face. Because I thought, wasn't there a big Missouri Supreme Court case or something where they threw this out? Or
yeah, there was. And one of the reasons that they were doing it is, one, they were setting these as moving violations. And you couldn't have a moving violation because they couldn't prove that they were actually moving. And the other is that the part of cases when you have to have evidence admitted, you have to have an authentication. So these cameras weren't manned. They were just robotic.
That comes back to being able to face your accuser, correct?
That is correct.
So practically a lawyer. Look at me.
In the research I've done on this right now, it says red light cameras are still legal in Missouri, but the Missouri Supreme Court held that city ordinances that put the burden on vehicle owners to prove someone else was driving the car is unconstitutional.
Yes. So they have figured out a way in Hannibal that they have taken on the burden of proof. But so you don't have to go up there, although it's a nice place. And mm-hmm. I've been to the Mark. You've been, I'm sure.
Sure, many times.
Stories but on the Mark.
The thing. Supreme Court, the Missouri Supreme Court, you're right, Bill, did strike down local ordinances regarding the use of red light cameras in St. Louis, Kansas City, and St. Peter's in 2018. When I lived in Kentucky and visited St. Louis back in 2004, 2003, right in that area, I got a ticket in downtown St. Louis for not coming to a complete stop on a right turn at a red light. I kind of rolled through it. It was 10:30 at night. There was no traffic coming anyway. I didn't cause or potentially cause it. It was a $100 ticket.
It was terrible. And for a long time, about 10 years ago, this was one of the biggest bugaboos of people driving around St. Louis, is that you had, you know, St. Louis is notorious for just running stop signs, but also having traffic tickets mm-hmm. as a means of funding these tiny little towns. And the reason that a lot of these towns, and a lot of them are just horrible, St. Anne and Bella Village and you know, other places like that, Velda City, that they even exist is that they were gouging people for these traffic tickets mm-hmm. so that they could amend them so they wouldn't get points, because Missouri is a point state, right. a point jurisdiction. And then you know, as much as 50 or 80% of their revenue was coming from these tickets. So all that Ferguson stuff, one of the only good things that came out of it is some reforms on some of this stuff. These red light tickets were even worse, because it's bad enough that a police officer would see you sort of, you know, coast through a stop sign that wasn't dangerous, like you may have done, or I did 1,000 times, and then get you for a ticket that you know is being used to fund this horrible little stupid town, usually in North County. Now, as worse is, now you've got this like robotic camera doing it and then sending it to you in the mail. Mm-hmm. So that got taken care of, you know, like 5-6 years ago. So what I would say is that's a great thing. And the biggest problem was that the company that was making most of the money, that was doing a revenue split, is in Arizona. It's like American Traffic Solutions, I think. So I don't want to smear the name of the company. It sounds like, I think it's American Traffic Solutions. Tim will check.
Yep.
And the guy that was the representative for American Traffic Solutions out of Scottsdale, Arizona, was none other than Ron Battelle, who has had a very nice career in St. Louis County Police and with Backstoppers. But this relationship was sketchy at best, and probably not something that people know too much about or really would appreciate. So I'm glad that those cameras are gone. And in the end, I think, Gail, what I'll tell your daughter is, take it easy in Hannibal, yeah. but I'll give her a freebie. Send me a picture or a scanned copy of her ticket. And if you guys can figure out a driving abstract over in Illinois from the Secretary of State and send that along, then I don't have to pay for that too. And I'll do it for nothing.
Gail, do you have his email address?
I do. LawOfficeOfScottSherman.com.
No. Take away the bell.
Try again.
So close. Oh,
that hurt.
LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
Oh, at Gmail. Oh, dumb. Yeah.
And they're going to charge her something to make this arrangement. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think other lawyers would probably charge you $50 or $100. And I don't want to do that, because why not? We're all big one happy family, right?
Right. Gail, thanks for the call.
Okay. You know, and let me ask you this. Does it matter? So the ticket came in my husband's name, because we own the car. She's a college student.
Registered.
But it's obvious. Yeah, I was going to say, but it's obviously her. But the ticket is in his name. That,
you know, there was this funky thing they were doing where they were sending it to the registered owner and then saying that the vehicle had moved through the light illegally. But that was one of the problems that the other cases had, where they weren't identifying the driver. And as Tim said, how can you punish someone who didn't actually commit this offense? They had no way to prove that the person who was driving, they couldn't tell. And they were trying to make people snitch on other people, and it kind of was a terrible idea. So that procedural or technicality means nothing. Hannibal has figured out how to make their red light cameras stand up in court, but they've also come up with a pretty good scheme to get a little money out of you and keep the lights on at the Mark Twain home and move you down the road without having to go back.
That's right. Well, I figure either way, whether it's in my daughter's name or my husband's name, the money comes out of our pocket.
The money comes out of somebody's pocket. Yeah. You know, it should be her, but you know how fathers and daughters are. Your husband's going to pay for it. So
that's right. College student. So
that's right.
All righty.
Thank you, Gail, for the call.
Thank you.
That means the line's open, 855-282-8255. 855-282-TALK. Who's up next here, David? Is it Ronnie or Bill?
We've got Bill up next.
Bill, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott Sherman.
Bill. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Bill, how are you?
Scott, how are you?
Hey, I'm great, Bill. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm into you.
Very good.
Hallelujah. I bought a house 15 years ago. I got a 30-year loan, and I had PMI, and someone suggested I get a secondary loan for 15 years that I could get at a little higher rate, but it was still less than me paying PMI. So along comes 10 years later, I lose my job. I have to go bankrupt, but I want to keep my house. So I go ahead and renew my primary contract, the 30-year, but my lawyer said you're not obligated to do your 15-year. They can put a lien on your house, but there's really nothing they can do since they'd have to buy out the primary loan, and they aren't really likely to do that since, you know, this is a little loan. It was only $20,000. Well, come 5 years after the, I go belly up, here comes the second loan saying, hey, we're going to foreclose on your house, and you need to let us inspect it to see what it's like, and blah, 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 blah. And I've just been advised to, wait it, see if that second mortgage actually hires a lawyer, and because it was just an internal memo, and maybe somebody stirred something up after 5 years and said, hey, we can get this guy. But what do you think about that?
Let's do it like when Frank's here. Guys, what do you think?
He fried my brain a little bit.
Yeah, it was very, very well done,
with the
actually,
whole second
Bill.
Mortgage. I mean, he's worried about getting sued twice?
I think Bill's worried about the second mortgage coming in and foreclosing on his house. Is that right, Bill?
That's correct. They would apparently have to, have a sale and then pay the 30-year loan off, and then whatever they would keep would be profit. But I've been told that's very, very unlikely, and wanted to see if I should just hold off for a while and see if I get an actual lawyer coming at me or what.
When I asked those guys, I was kind of kidding, because that was real complicated. This is as complicated as
my pay grade.
A property case you're going to get. Bill, here's what I think. I think that usually the second mortgage people, because they're subservient or secondary or junior to the primary, the first mortgagee, that's what they are. There's not much they can do. They can't force the sale because they can't run afoul of the rights that the first mortgage holder has on your property. On that lien. Now, they may have a lien, but that would only be satisfied if either A, you made a deal with them to buy them out of their second mortgage, or you sold the house and they'd have to get paid. So I don't think they can force any sale of your house because of their secondary position.
But they can. Could they get a judgment against him
and seize
his bank accounts and stuff like that?
Well, they have better than that. They have a lien already against his house.
Well,
they could live
20 years. I mean,
well, that's the deal that they made. So they want to be in the second mortgage business. They have to wait their turn. Now, with respect to what they'll do, there are a couple of options that have been floating around with second mortgage holders, and that is if you get behind, sometimes they'll make a deal for a lump. Now, I don't know if they've approached you about that, Bill, or not, or if you had the ability to talk to them about that. But
actually, I haven't been paying the second lien since
right.
Second company since the foreclosure, and they in this
well,
you know, it's a simple letter, you know, about it's you know.
It's from them.
Have,
it's from them, though, right?
Opportunity, giving me that opportunity. Yeah,
yeah. But I would not take them up on selling your house and paying them off. That's pretty much the deal you kind of already made with them. What I would do, instead of just sitting and waiting for a letterhead from some law firm, I'd contact a real estate lawyer and see if maybe they would contact them. Let's say, just hypothetically, Bill, and I know you went through bankruptcy. I'm sorry that that happened. But let's say you went through and you had a lawyer contact the second holder, and they said, this guy's, you know, in trouble here. You know, he's, I don't know what he's going to do with this place, but we'll give you, you know, $6,000. I mean, hypothetically, if they would take the six to wipe out their loan, and if they would be willing to do that, would you have the money to do that?
Only if I had a relative loan it to me.
Yeah, but you could get your hands on that. Sometimes that's the approach that you want to take. That's why talking to a real estate lawyer instead of sitting back would be my recommendation. It's not going to cost you very much of anything at all. Look at your options. The lawyer that gave you the recommendation on sitting back, was that a real estate lawyer? Was that a bankruptcy lawyer? Was that some other kind of lawyer?
That was a bankruptcy lawyer.
I like specialty stuff. Bankruptcy and real estate, they do intermingle and they do overlap. But if you've got something wrong with your kidney, you don't go to the guy that's like a heart surgeon. So go to an expert, talk to a real estate lawyer, see if you've got options. Sitting back may be what the best move is, but I don't think that that's the thing to do right now.
Okay.
So send me an email. I'll give you a couple real estate lawyers and talk to them.
Bill, do you have his email?
I don't.
LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com. Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
All right. Ronnie is up next here on 590 The Fan. Ronnie, say hi to attorney Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hey, Ronnie. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to try to keep this short so other people can get on here. What the deal is, acquaintance of mine, her husband passed away about a year ago. She couldn't live alone anymore, so she went into a home, and people went over there and helped her pack and clean up her stuff, and her stepson was involved too. He helped move some stuff out, and he cleaned her carpets for her several times, and put the house on the market. He went over and did a couple other things that needed to be done, and so the house took a while. She took a cut in on it. She didn't get what she was asking, but she needed to sell it, so she got it sold. When it came through the title company, there was a lien on the house, and it was from her stepson for moving her, going out there, doing different repairs, stuff like that, and it even went back several years when his father was still alive, and from what I know, his father would always give him some cash for going over there and doing what he did. They never got any invoices, never got billed for anything, but he had about a $8,000 lien on that property, and she had to agree to pay that before it could sell.
At the closing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say this, and I don't know that either one of us know the intimate details of that relationship, but knowing your friend, and I don't know her at all, it doesn't sound to you like she would have signed anything granting the stepson a lien, does it?
No, I mean, she...
There's no documentation that she recalls ever signing saying that would gave him the right to do that.
She did go ahead and go through with it to get it.
Yeah, because she was the gun was in her head to sell. But right. But when he was doing this, she never signed any documents or paperwork when he was doing this work, supposedly giving him this lien.
No, she never got billed for it or anything.
Ronnie, you ready for this one?
Yeah.
This is fraud. This is a crime. He should be in prison. And she should sue him because what he did was unauthorized. Maybe the work was authorized, but it was supposed to be as a favor. Certainly it wasn't worth $8,000, and nobody ever gave him the right to slap a lien on this house. Now, if he had a dispute where he thinks that maybe she owed him money or owed him $8,000, the way for him to get a judgment is to file a lawsuit against her, go to court, talk to a judge, and have an order entered against her. Then a lien would be placed on her real estate. What he did is he just jumped the gun and decided, you know what? I'm owed $8,000. I'm going to slap a lien on her. And I've heard people talk about it. Slap a lien. You don't slap a lien on people. You have to go through the procedures and get authority from a court to do that. So unless this guy is a judge, which I doubt, He has no right to have done that. And even though he was paid, I think she should talk to a lawyer about suing his rear end and maybe the police, because I don't see any lawful reason while this fool who took advantage of his stepmom had any right to anything that she didn't agree to give to him. And it doesn't sound like she did. So I don't know how well she is, since she had to go into a home, or how close you are with them, but if she or somebody that represents her interest would like to talk to somebody about this, find a lawyer or send me an email and I'll find a lawyer. And I think this is terrible behavior by this stepson.
Well, maybe I'll have her call you or
that would be fantastic.
Do you have his email?
Scott, the law office of Scott Sherman at
gmail.com. That's it.
Ronnie, thank you.
You got it, Ronnie. Thanks for calling.
All right. Enjoy.
That means the line is open.
Sorry, I should have asked you guys what you thought.
Oh, that's okay.
That's what Frank does.
I know, but you know, Frank thinks he's a lawyer.
Well, he almost is now. What happens is he listens to what I say, and then like 2 weeks later, the same question comes up, and then he says, and I like it.
What he learned 2 weeks before from what you said.
But to be quite honest, he gets it right most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing it 4 years, so he just...
855-282-TALK, 855-282-8255. Dave is up next here. Dave, say hello to Attorney Scott Sherman.
Hello to Attorney Scott Sherman.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I am AM and the PM.
Thank you, sir.
I have a financial situation.
Yes, sir.
I had a credit card that I had to quit using and quit paying on over 11 years ago due to an unfortunate series of circumstances. I had to go away for a while. The credit card contacted my wife and tried to get her to pay it. She said, no, my name's not on it. I'm not paying it. So to our knowledge, they wrote that debt off. Last week, I got a call from a debt collector saying that that I had this balance and had this debt was owed, and they're trying to collect it from it. Can they do that legally, or what's my status here?
I'm going to give you a great phrase, the statute of limitations. Things can only go on for so long. And I would say that in every jurisdiction, even a written contract, it's about 10 years. So if the last time that this credit card was used was 11 years ago, the five-year statute would probably apply. And I would say they are SOL on the SOL, statute of limitations. If you want to really put the nail on these third-party creditors, I've got some consumer lawyer people. In fact, I have one really good one that... using the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, this could be a violation that they're trying to collect a debt that they know or have reason to know is no good. And it could be a violation that could cost these people as much as $1,000 per violation. And if nothing else, maybe they'll just go pound sand, which is where they belong, and it can clean up your credit report. So I don't know exactly when, you know, how long you're on vacation or how that tolls or doesn't toll the statute. I don't even know if they know that. I don't know if it's their business. But I know this. When I hear 11 years ago, the statute of limitations is something that just triggers in my mind. And it's a very strong defense. These things cannot go on forever, and they shouldn't. And so I can give you the name of the person that I would recommend if you want to send me an email.
Do you have his email?
Law office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
That's it.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
The question is, can they get around that statute by passing the debt from one to another, saying, well, we just bought this debt 5 years ago?
I think there's a seven-year limit based on some personal things that occurred in my life previously when I was younger. I believe the limit is 7 years. It can stay on your credit report.
There's two different things. One's on the credit report, and the other is how long they would have the right to file a legal action. And to answer Dave, you can't baton it like a relay race and say, well, I only ran one leg of the 4x100. No, you guys ran four times around the track. It doesn't matter how many times each player did. That statute follows the debt.
And my question would be, how much interest are they allowed to? If there's no statute of limitations, you owe somebody $3,000, you quit paying them, does interest continue to accrue within that statute of limitations?
Goes back to that original agreement. Okay. Right. So that's why when contracts are signed And this is one of the bugaboos about credit card deals. And these cases have been up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and I don't know if Dave cares about this, but when you do a point-and-click agreement on the Internet or you get one of those credit card offers in the mail, all that language, that fine print, all will be stuck on the cardholder or the agreement maker, because the U.S. Supreme Court 5-4 said there are really no more adhesion contracts. The terms of these are often egregious, including not just the finance percentages, but also arbitration clauses when there are disputes and all kinds of other things. I think they have tried to do a workaround on the statute of limitations sometimes, but I believe that every state's statute of limitations would trump even these agreements. So Missouri, non-written agreements is 5, written agreements is 10. Illinois, I think it's 3 and 10, something like that. So in any event, 11 years is too long since the breach, and I think these people suck. So send me an email.
So it doesn't matter that I live in Missouri and they're located in Illinois. That doesn't have anything to do with it.
Sometimes the agreements will say the laws of the state of whatever apply, and they can pick whatever state that they want. But 11 years is too long for all of these contractual statutes of limitations. You'll hear about statutes of limitations on, usually it's these, they're these ugly kind of sexual harassment cases and these molestation cases where there's like a 40-year statute of limitations. But that's different than the statute of limitations for a credit card violation or a contract breach. You're outside of that. And give me an email. I'll give you the consumer guy, and maybe you can turn this defense into offense and make some money on these guys.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave. We're going to move on to 8.
I will do that.
All right. Thank you, sir. 855-282-8255. You're with attorney Scott Sherman here on 590 The Fan. Tim Woodburn sitting in for Frank Opinion today. David Solomon, Bill Cleveland all here in the house. Trevor Phillips and his lady friend are giving birth today.
Oh,
she's
that?
Giving birth today.
When did she go into labor?
It's coming today. That's why he's not here.
Oh.
So that's why, and of course, Frank and Dan are on the way to Vegas to attend the wedding of
Frank's daughter.
Sounds
like a 4-day weekend to
me.
What's his name? Limey?
Sounds like a pretty lame excuse for missing a radio show.
Turned out she had a false alarm.
Looking at the screen here, it looks like Sean is up next on 590 The Fan. Sean, say hi to attorney Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, Sean. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
So I signed up with a cell phone provider in April, and they had a promotion going on that was buy one, get one free. And I gave it a couple months, and my bill kept showing up as buy one, get one half off for the phone. And I'm 6 months later, and my bill is still showing up as buy one, get one 50% off. So do I have any – I'm working with someone in the company, and they're supposed to get it resolved. But I've been to the store about 3 or 4 times, made about 4 or 5 phone calls. Do I have any legal recourse, even if they do get it resolved, or what's
anybody?
I would like to take a shot at that.
Okay,
Jerry, go first.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I will just say that I have had to deal with now 2 different cell phone companies for not necessarily what you're talking about, but basically complaints that, and you try to get them resolved, and they will not resolve them, and you're running around in circles. And what I found. And Scott, I guess, can back me up on this. It's the FCC. You can file a complaint against a cell phone provider. Now, it has to obviously be legit, and you have to explain your case and say, you know, why you're in the right. And in both cases, I'm telling you, I won't say the name of the companies, but you want to see people jump through hoops in a hurry? You get the FCC involved and get the government people on their back and sending them a note. If those things were resolved in a heartbeat.
Wow.
And in both cases, the cell phone companies, one was they wouldn't let me out of my contract, and it was horrible service. People who have listened to the show for a long time, you may remember I had a cell phone provider for a while. I would do jokes on the air, and the punchlines would drop off.
Oh,
so I would set up the punchline. Yeah.
Is that why people do that?
And the cell phone would go dead. And anyway, so sorry. But anyway, I would just suggest if you can't get it resolved,
change the punchline.
FCC.gov. You can file a complaint, and as long as it's legit, I think they'll move.
My question is, okay, is the language spelled out in the original contract that you walked out of the store with? Is it spelled out?
So here's the deal. I went back to get a copy of the original contract, and they would not give it to me.
Ah. Uh-huh.
And I went back. Everyone's saying that I have the contract. Even at the store, they say that they'll honor it. And I've gone, and they've kind of ghosted me. I've talked to district managers, area managers. So I'm working with someone who I think will get resolved, but I just want to know, one is, if it doesn't, I think I have legal recourse, but even if it does, do I have, like, my time and kind of
I think there's
that way?
I'll attack at both of these. Tim's right about where I was thinking is the original contract. First of all, you have the right to do that. I go in the store and say, I want the original contract right now, or I'm not going to pay for this at all, because if you can't produce the contract, then I didn't make a deal. So I don't know why you're billing me for something I didn't pay. So either I get the contract that you're charging me for, or I want this contract avoided because it doesn't exist. So either I have a contract and I have the right to get it, or I don't have a contract and I need to not pay for this ever again. And in addition to that, whether or not this gets resolved, I believe that you could possibly have what's called, is this a Missouri or Illinois?
Missouri
Merchandise Practices Act violation, which is done to protect consumers from the purchase of products or services where there's, for lack of a better term, sort of a scam going on, sort of a bait and switch. Either somebody misled you about the term of the agreement. Sounds kind of familiar here. Yeah, it was sold to me as buy one, get one free. And the next thing I know, it's buy one, get one half off, which isn't what I agreed to. And B, they won't give me the original contract, so I can't even see what I agreed to. That sounds like a ding-ding on that.
They'll give me the contract. They won't give me the promotion.
No, you the BS. The agreement that you made when you were in the store making the agreement, you're entitled to that. You're entitled to the benefit of that purchase. And then this might not just be you. I mean, you may be part of a huge group called a class action. You may not care about that, but there are lawyers who do class actions that have really stuck it to internet service providers, cell phone carriers, other people who may, in the case of Sean, not take Sean's case because you may be entitled to, I don't know, you know, $800 or $400 because it might not be worth it.
It's 400, yeah.
Yeah, but 400 hours times 8 million people, they're suddenly interested. So I'm not saying it is, but the Missouri Merchandise Practices Act stands out here not necessarily because of what shows up on your bills, but because what they won't give you, which is proof of the benefit of the bargain that you made. It infuriates me, and that is not okay. So Bill's suggestion is very good on the FCC, but also I would like you, if you don't mind, send me an email with some of the details of this, and I can run it by my class action people and see if it's a thing. And you may get your $400 back, and you may get more, and you may not, but at least you could put some heat on these people so that they don't do it to you, and maybe they won't do it to anybody else. So,
Sean, do you have his email?
Yeah, lawofficeofscottsherman@gmail.com.
That's it.
And in between now and then, I would send them an email, and I would say, I demand immediately a copy of my original agreement that I made on such and such date, and that needs to be emailed to me within the next 24 hours. Don't go to the store so they can call the police. Don't call them on the phone so they can lie and say that you didn't ask for that. Do it in writing and do it immediately, and sit back and see what happens. In the meantime, send me an email with the story, and I'll look into it for you.
Sean, thanks for the call.
All right. Thanks.
We're going to try and squeeze in a couple more here as we have about 6 more minutes in this 4 o'clock hour. Bill is up next on 590 The Fan. Bill, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, hey, Scott Sherman. How are you?
Bill. Good. How are you?
I'm going to do that.
I am doing just fine. I dealt with, I called you, four months ago, what it was, and you hooked me up with Josh.
I did.
And nothing, well, when I say nothing came about on it, but how long, if I put a lien on property,
Yes. I'm told that it only lasts for 6 months.
Not if you have a judgment. Is this for a mechanics lien?
This is for for a work that
for
I did
work
in the
that
house
you did
that never got paid.
I thought it was longer than that, but it can be re-upped. I don't think it just extinguishes. This is one of those where I'll bet you that there's a real estate lawyer or sort of a contractor lawyer that's going, okay, idiot, I know exactly the answer. I would say this. The person I gave you knows. If he hasn't gotten back to you, I'll give you somebody else who will know. I would say that it doesn't just expire or it doesn't extinguish forever. You can re-up it. But mechanics liens are different than court judgments on how long they can stay on real estate.
Okay.
I don't think it's 6 months. But
it seems awful short to me.
Yeah, just resend me the email, and I'll go over there with a baseball bat or something and beat him up. And
I can give Josh a call. I'll stop by and get
the baseball bat from me first and work him over.
I can do that.
Sounds like Ray Donovan. All right, Bill, you got his email?
And then I'll call you when I need some legal service because I beat somebody's ass.
Perfect. That's how I do it. I set up the crime, and then I get him out of it.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks. Like Rudy Giuliani.
Bill, thanks for your phone call. We have time, I believe, for one or two more. We'll get Dan in here on 590 The Fan. Dan, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hey there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Quick question. How do you check and see if you have a lien on your house?
Ah, very good. First, you can do it for the real estate search online.
I charge $150 for it.
Tim Woodburn does it.
I can tell you if you have a lien on your car or your house, but there may be other ways to do it. I do a lot of that kind of business. Do you ever do anything like that?
No, but this, I think Tim Woodburn would be the perfect person.
Okay, how do you do it for free?
Not by Tim Woodburn.
That would not be the way. Do you live in St. Louis County?
Would the Recorder of Deeds have
it? St. Charles County.
St. Charles. The Recorder of Deeds has it. I think St. Charles has a online free search now. They've upgraded pretty well in the past few years. Try that. It's stcharles.gov or something. And go into the real estate section, and you can find it that way. It should come up there. If not, go into the Recorder of Deeds office there on 5th Street?
Mm-hmm. Second Street.
Go in there and give them your address, and they'll run it for you.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call. We still have a couple of minutes here before we go to news at the top of the hour. Do we have another call, David? All right, we'll get one more in here. Arthur, which happens to be my middle name. Arthur, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. How you doing?
Great, Arthur. How are you, sir?
Fine. Hey, a lady hit me, and a girl hit me in an accident when I was stationary. And I have insurance, and she has insurance. It was all paid off in January 2019. And then this lawyer in Chicago filed a lien against me in May. Okay?
For
why
what?
To me, that's illegal.
Well, lien for what?
For payment of the vehicle damage. My car was never damaged.
Oh.
It was a Mercedes. They're built like a tank.
Here, Arthur, send me an email on this because we got about a minute left, but I'll explain it as best I can in about 30 seconds. There is a possibility here that there was an agreement with the insurance company, but your insurance may not have had enough to cover the full value of the car. I'm not saying it did, but send me the letter. I'll write to that lawyer, and we'll find out what this is all about. And it may be something you just put in the wastebasket and forget about. But nobody gets a lien without a judgment. Nobody gets a judgment without going to court. And nobody gets anything without due process. So this sounds like something I would not respond to without a lawyer.
Arthur, you have his email?
Yeah, I got his email.
Yeah, send me an email. I'll do it for you for nothing.
All right, Arthur, thanks for the call. We're out of time.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Great having you on this hour. Always flies through. We'd love to have you stick around if you have time. If not,
is there trivia?
No, there's no trivia.
I'm staying anyway.
Okay, good. We'll have national news, local news, and then the Without Frank Opinion Playhouse coming your way with one more hour to go on the extra, extra, extra large morning show in the afternoon without Frank Opinion here on 590 The Fan.
NBC
News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina is calling the House closed-door inquiry an illegitimate process.
It's a star chamber-type inquiry, and it's a substantial deviation from what the House has done in the past regarding impeachment of other presidents.
Talking with reporters at the Capitol, the South Carolina Republican said it's a rogue action and argued that it's dangerous for the country. Graham tweeted the names of 44 GOP senators who have signed his impeachment resolution so far. An entire town in Northern California is evacuating as a raging wildfire moves closer. Crews say it exploded to 10,000 acres overnight in Sonoma County's wine country. The fire is being pushed by high winds hitting nearly 80 miles an hour at times. Congressman Elijah Cummings is being remembered as a man whose voice could shake mountains. Hundreds of friends and colleagues from the House and Senate gathered